We read from Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord, and now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, redeemed by the blood of God's own Son, we just finished singing the hymn, The Advent of Our King. I'd like to mention something kind of interesting about the author, Charles Coffin. And about him, we know that he also wrote another hymn, On Jordan's Bank, The Baptist Cry, or as we say in our hymn book, On Jordan's Bank, The Herald's Cry. He also wrote odes too. He wrote ode even to the wines of Champagne in France. But that's not the interesting thing I was going to tell you about. We do know this about him, that he was the rector of the University of Paris in 1718, and that he was a Roman cleric. And most importantly, what I'd like to have you think about is he was a Jansenist. Have you ever heard of that, Jansenist? Well, Jansenism, what is it? It was a movement inside the Roman Church by some that wanted to go back to the teachings of St. Augustine and wanted to emphasize the fact that, as Augustine was holding to, that it is faith in Christ alone that saves and not this matter of faith plus good works that prepares one for eternal life. Well, as a result of Coffin being a Jansenist, he was refused a Christian burial. And the Catholic Church would not want to have him have a sanctioned funeral or an ornate coffin, no pun intended. But nevertheless, Coffin himself, take a look at what he did in that hymn that we just sang, especially verse 3, where the first three verses talk about the first advent of the king, coming in a lowly manner, and it says that he had forgiveness. Forgiveness he doth bring. He held to that. And because he held to that, he was also then prepared for meeting his maker, for the second coming, the second advent of the king, which he sings, puts beautifully into music in the last three verses of our hymn. The words before us from the writer of Hebrews remind us that the Lord is returning again, not as a lowly king, but he's going to come as the King of glory, the Lord of lords, King of kings, as the judge of the world. And we're also told in our text, we're told that he who is coming will come and will not tarry. It's talked about as a very quick situation. Well, you might ask the question, a lot of time's gone by here. Quite a delay. What's it mean? What does the writer mean here? It says, will not tarry. Didn't also the prophets, and one of them's being quoted here from Habakkuk, didn't the prophets of old say, the day of the Lord is near, the day of the Lord is coming? In the New Testament too, repeated again, get ready, the day of the Lord is coming. Sounds as if this is very imminent. What about this language? Well, you and I know that the reason the Lord gives this is because he wants us to be ready at any time, whether it is the time of our death or the time when the Lord's going to come again in his second advent that way. He wants us to be prepared and ready to meet him. And what a day this will be. But also we should remember, as Scripture tells us, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. He goes on to say in the New Testament there, the Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to to repentance. The immediacy language, you see, of our Lord's second coming is given for a twofold purpose. First of all, of course, it's given as a warning for all people, but it's given in a loving manner. And secondly, it is given as an emphasis on blessedness, but that blessedness is for the believers, for those who hold on to Christ, who held on to what Coffin was holding on to, the forgiveness of sins through Christ's first coming. There's a question that I think is posed here as we take a look at a text like this. And that would be, are you and I so apt to pray in our life, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly? Especially too, as we're here in the comfortable chapel and we have pretty comfortable lives for ourselves. And then when we're thinking too of the type of people that the writer of Hebrews was addressing himself to, first of all, he addresses himself to us today as well. The immediacy context shows that those to whom the writer of Hebrews was first addressed were ones that were experiencing much persecution. If you read in the verses right ahead of this in chapter 10 of Hebrews, it says that they had to watch their friends being led off into jail. And as they were put in prison this way, what was also happening to them? It says even their property too, was being confiscated. They were really being physically persecuted. As I prepared this brief devotion here today, I noticed that in the mail just a day or two ago, I saw that there was an announcement coming from the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, a translation society that talked about a Somalian Lutheran pastor who was over in his country doing translation work of the Bible. And it says that he was beat up so badly and left for dead by some Muslim mullahs, Muslim teachers that way, because they wanted to expunge Christianity from their region. We can well imagine that people that are actually going through this physical kind of persecution, we can imagine how they especially would say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. And we can imagine how, using the words that we have before us here, that's repeated throughout the scripture, the just shall live by faith meant so much to them. Even if their own life was being snuffed out, the just shall live by faith. Faith in the coming of the Savior and what he did for them. They could know that they had this victory to look forward to. Why? Because in the first coming of that great king, you see, they had holiness, a holiness that was offered to them because of the holy, innocent life of Jesus Christ. Lived perfectly in your place and mine, the place of all people. They were holding on to that, the believers. And of course, they also knew that this was emphasized for them because of the rising of Jesus from the dead. And that resurrection was a guarantee to them that what they're holding on to was absolutely true. And they knew that they had this victory to look forward to. No wonder they would pray often, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Our text says, too, that it would be just a little while. It's the way the writer of Hebrews puts it here, too. Be a little while. Meaning, when it comes to that suffering and things that they were going through, all that pressure, it's just really a little while when it comes to, compared to eternity, the blessedness of eternity they had to look forward to. You and I, too, ought to certainly long, as they do, for our Lord's second coming this way. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. I'm sure there's times in our life when it's a little easier for us especially to be saying that because of some stresses that we go through. Maybe it's even right now, stresses that you're having because of the middle of tests or so on. Wondering how it's going to go as you go into the next semester. Or whether it's job issues Or maybe it's because of some relationship issue that's really troubling you, whether it's with your relatives that way or some other friend, and so on. Could it be something pretty deep with regard to your spiritual life? And then, too, there's the matter of just looking at the world around us and knowing the news and so on and hearing how there's all these challenges coming against the Christian religion today. And we know that it would be a little easier for us, especially in those moments, to be saying, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come." But each of us need to be aware of something here, and that is that because we live basically, and think of us compared to so many people in the world today, we live in pretty much ease, don't we? A lot of comforts around us. And we think about these comforts too as we're going into Christmas season and so on. We've got a lot of those things that we're going to celebrate. But we got to be careful that those things can easily lure us away from being prepared, lure us and take us away from the faith that justifies, the faith in the coming of God's own Son at first Christmas when he came into our world in order to redeem us from our sins. It can make us unprepared, and so we got to be careful. We do not want to be among those that would draw back from the faith, as the text says before us. In the chapter of Hebrews, God mentions that only a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire will come upon those who are the enemies of Christ. That's the loving warning that our Lord sets before us during this Advent season. Note well, though, the main point here is what's emphasized right at the end of this text, and that is the blessedness that those have who have this faith in Christ the Savior. Total blessedness. Blessedness beyond all expectation. And they have it just like Charles Coffin did as he held on to the forgiveness of sins in Christ for his life. And that was what he was counting on to meet his Maker. Do you acknowledge our sinfulness, our abject spiritual poverty before our God, day by day? Do we see ourselves totally dependent, really, upon the mercy of God Himself for our salvation in every respect? If so, take comfort in another Advent. That's emphasized so much right in this chapel too. And that is the way the King comes to people's hearts through the means of grace. That is the word of the gospel and baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's how he's coming to you and me today and every day of our life. And he is assuring us through that, conveying it to us, the very highest gift of all that we could ever have in our life. And really concentrate on that, especially during the Christmas season, that he gives us the gift of all gifts, the gracious forgiveness of all your sins and my sins, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And it's all because of what Christ has done for us in his first advent. It's interesting to note that Dr. Luther, in his lecture on Hebrews, very early in his life that way, I mean early on in the Reformation movement, early in the year of 1517, he put this right into his class notes, right about Hebrews here. He who relies on Christ through faith is carried on the shoulders of Christ. It is because the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is carried upon himself all of our sins and our burdens that way. And now comes to us through that advent that we're talking about for the moment here. And that is his coming to us in word and sacrament that we especially say right now about this advent in particular. And that helps us prepare for the second. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. May God help us to do so. Amen. We pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, so that by his coming we may worship you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.